This is North Place Church, Durban. We hope as you listen today that you experience Christ, community, and compassion. To learn more about us, visit our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
What does it really mean to be strong, to have strength? What does it truly take for us to be stronger in life? And so over the next several weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at stories throughout the Bible and the New Testament and the Old Testament, and we're going to look at people's lives who exhibited resilience. In other words, they faced some hard things in life. And because they were resilient, they became stronger. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at many people in the scriptures that demonstrated to us what it means to be resilient. Resilience is the capacity to adapt well, in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress. It's the process of being able to adapt well when life gets hard so that we become stronger. I don't know if you can tell, I'm not a big workout kind of guy. That's a joke. No, not supposed to laugh though. I mean, come on, man. It's my genetics. I can't help it. You know? My wife tells me I'm skinny fat because I just eat, you know, I just eat and eat and eat. My daughter's the same way. I'm not a big workout kind of guy, but we have a couple of guys on our staff that are. One of them does push-ups every day. So Pastor Adam, come and help me real fast. Pastor Robbie, come on up here. Hey, give these guys a hand. They're going to help me out with something real quick. So they're going to demonstrate for us what it means to be strong, okay? So Pastor Adam is like the workout man. If you ever need some tips, go to him. Robbie does like 5 million push-ups a day. So here's what they're going to do. So Pastor Adam is going to hold on to this band, all right? And we're going to see how strong he is because Robbie is going to run as fast as he can down the aisle. Please don't knock down the TV. Oh, dear Lord. We should have ran this by someone. All right, go, Rod. Come on, go, go. Nope. Oh, geez. All right. Let's see if you can pull him. Ready? Here we go. Count me down. 3, 2, 1, go. Come on. Ah! Woo! All right. That was good. Good try. Give these guys a hand. They are awesome. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Adam. Pastor Robbie, you guys are legit. We're going to go do push-ups when we're done. Not really. See, here's the thing about this resistance band. Is that it has the capacity to adapt well when it's stretched. It didn't break, did it? No, why? Because the purpose of this is to make someone stronger. The purpose of this band is so that you can work out, so that you can become a stronger person. It's flexible. It is resilient. I hope that helps you wrap your mind around what does it mean to be resilient? What does resilience mean? It means that sometimes in life we are stretched by trauma and tragedy and the stress of school and the stress of our marriages. Woo! Not mine, because it's, no, just kidding. Stress of kids. We love them, but dear God. And so we're stretched many times, and resilience is us going through a process, being able to adapt well in the face of being stressed. Through this series, we're going to learn how to be stretched, but not broken. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, I am crushed, but I'm not defeated. Right? I face trial and tragedy and stresses in life, but it has not broken me. There's a reason he was able to say that, and that's what we're going to look at today. And really throughout this next 5 weeks as we look at this series on what it means to become stronger. Today, specifically, we're going to look at the life of Noah. How many of you guys know the man named Noah in the Bible? Heard it in Sunday school? Y'all remember Sunday school back in the day? We had that in Texas growing up. had to go to, we called it Sunday school, right? Because it's Texas, so you go to Sunday school. But today we're going to look at the life of Noah, because let's be honest, Noah, man, he experienced some major stuff in life, right? So when you read your Bible, when you're doing your daily 20 throughout this week, the story is told of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we are introduced to this man named Noah. And when we're introduced to him, the Bible talks about how the world at this time was evil. It says that the thought or the heart of man was just evil continually. And so God decided that he was going to wipe out mankind because of the wickedness, and that he was going to start over with this man named Noah. If you don't know the story, it says in Genesis chapter 6, but basically God comes to this man named Noah, speaks to him, and tells him, hey, listen, I'm going to cause a flood to come on the earth, and I'm going to destroy all of mankind, but I want you to build an ark. A big boat, basically. I want you to build an ark to save yourself and your family. And not only did he tell him, I want you to build an ark, but he gave him specific instructions on how to build this ark, the way that it was to be laid out and all of these things. And God told him, I want you to take two of every kind of animal and bring them on the ark with you. So what does Noah do? The Bible tells us in Genesis 6 that he obeys God. He builds the ark. We don't know how long it took. It probably took a very long time. He builds the ark. And then the Bible says that he, along with his family, gets on the ark and it begins to rain. And it rains for 40 days and 40 nights straight. Could you imagine that? I have to have the sun in my life. I don't know about you guys. It gets cloudy outside and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do anything today. You know what I mean? Gets rainy and I'm like, I just want to take a nap. You know, anybody else? I just want to take a nap. It's just, I need my naps. Let's be honest. I need a snack and I need a nap or I get grumpy. Doss gets it honestly from his dad. It rains 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says that Noah and his family, they spend 300 and 70 days in the ark until all of the flood waters are gone. And the Bible talks about how God then makes a covenant with Noah and his family. And so today we're going to look at Noah and how he paints a beautiful picture, his whole life story. We're going to look at his story of how it teaches us to be resilient. We're going to look at how Noah's resilience was birthed out of his relationship with God. That's first and foremost. How his resilience was rooted in covenant, and then how he demonstrated his resilience through obedience. So the first thing I want you to see today from the life of Noah is this. Number one, the first thing, if you're taking notes, because as I see on Instagram, note takers are history makers. Woo! Hey, I'm a rapper cat. You didn't know. So number one, the first thing is this. Resilience is birthed out of relationship with God. This is the foundation of everything. It is. This is where resilience, this is where becoming stronger, this is where it begins. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 says this about Noah. It says, Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his time. And look at this. And he walked faithfully with God. For Noah, resilience is birthed out of relationship with God. Resilience is birthed out of relationship with God. See, the people of Noah's day, when you read it in chapter 6, it says that everyone around Noah was wicked. They were evil, and that every intent of their heart was evil continually. Y'all are like, oh, I know, that's my mother-in-law. No, I'm just kidding. Don't. Woo, calm down. She's all the way in Texas. She can't hear me. Just kidding. I love my mother-in-law. She's sweet. She is. That's terrible. Cut that out of the sermon, Esther, when you put it on the internet. Woo, man. Lord help us. Okay, somebody, all right. I got one brother encouraging me. So, but in Noah's day, no, seriously, like, we probably can't even understand what it was like, because Jesus himself, like, years and years later, Jesus would actually refer to the days of Noah and how in the end times, it's going to be a lot like it was in the days of Noah, that people's heart and their intent, their motive is always evil. Noah was a man, though, it said in chapter 6, verse 9, it says he was described as righteous and blameless. And it says that he walked faithfully with God. He walked faithfully with God. Listen, without the law of Moses, the Mosaic law and the Mosaic covenant is not in place yet at this point in the timeline of the narrative of the Bible and God's plan for humanity. He doesn't have prescribed worship. He doesn't have the law of Moses, but yet somehow the Bible says that he walked faithfully with God. He was blameless among everyone else. He was a blameless guy. There was no blame in Noah. I bet he wasn't liked very much. Noah is described as a man who had a reverent fear of who God was. Look at me. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Later on, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. In the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen," here it is, "in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family." And look at this. "By his faith," everyone say faith. Yes, "by his faith, he condemned the world and he became an heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." See, here's the thing. Resilience is a product of relationship and not willpower. I grew up, man, listen, I grew up deep southern roots of the United States. Sometimes, I can't tell you how many times my dad would tell me, "Aaron, put on your big boy underwear and just get it done." I don't know why I said that. Like, I was like, "Dad, that's kind of weird, okay?" But there's this mentality that, you know, I just put my boots on, strap them up, I make it happen. Willpower. I do it. You don't whine about it. You don't complain. You just do it. You get it done. You make it happen. But see, what Noah demonstrates for us, and really what the Bible points to a lot, is that resilience, being able to adapt in the face of adversity, is not based on your willpower alone. Yes, it's a product of it, but what it is based on, the foundation of it, is your relationship with God. My relationship with God gives me the strength, like we sang about this morning, that I can face tomorrow. My relationship with God, look at this, which is based on faith in Jesus Christ. The same thing that Noah's relationship was based on. It's based on faith. Just as Noah had faith and it was the foundation of his life, we must have faith in Christ as well. That is the hope of your eternity. It's not praying to some God out there who is this impersonal God. It's not doing ritual 1, 2, and 3, making sure you wash your hands this way, read this way. No, your relationship with God is based on your faith, your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That Jesus Christ was a real person. He came to this earth, he lived for 33 years, and he claimed to be God. C.S. Lewis says he's either Lord or he was a lunatic. There's no in between. Jesus wasn't just a good prophet or a good teacher. He was either the Son of God, like he said, or he was a crazy person. We must have faith. The foundation of our resilience in life when we're stretched and life is hard, The foundation that I can adapt well is not my willpower. My foundation of being able to adapt well is that I know who I am in Jesus Christ because he has bore my sin when he died on the cross for me. And then 3 days later, he came back to life just like he said he would, proving that he was the Son of God. Resilience is a product of my relationship with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've felt that stretch on your life and you want to become stronger. You want to become resilient. Can I ask you a question? Can it be said of you that you walk faithfully with God like Noah did? Well, Pastor Aaron, how do I walk faithfully with God? Man, we put an amazing tool in your hands. It's simple. Our daily 20. Spending 5 minutes a day in the Word of God, reading his Word. 5 minutes a day worshiping him, 5 minutes a day of prayer, and 5 minutes a day of listening to him. Can it be said of me that I walk faithfully with God? See, resilience isn't just my willpower. Really, the only way that I can be resilient, that I become stronger, it's because of his power. It's not my willpower. It's because of the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that gives me strength every single morning when I spend time with him, when sometimes I don't want to go to work. I don't want to be a selfless husband. I don't want to have to deal with these things and that thing and all of this and this stress and this adversity and all of that. The only way that I can do that is because I am based on a foundation, and that foundation is my relationship with God. You know, God wants to speak to you every day. Just the way you talk to your spouse or your coworkers or your kids or the way you communicate with one another here on Sunday morning in this beautiful family setting that we have, God wants to talk with you. I believe all of my heart that every single morning that when I wake up, that the Holy Spirit is saying, all right, hurry up, get your coffee, become alive, and let's talk. How many times do I just rush off and I don't let him speak to me? I don't let him make me stronger. Resilience is based on a relationship with God. See, Noah, he had the capacity to remain resilient because of his relationship with God. Because of his relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God today and you're here, Bible says it starts right now. Bible says you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. You're a new creation. It can start today. Noah had a relationship with God, and then out of that, God establishes a covenant. Look with me in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, it says this. God speaking to Noah, he says, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But, that's a good but right there. Whew. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your wife's sons, or your sons' wives with you. Second thing I want you to see from Noah is this today, is that resilience is rooted in covenant with God. See, the foundation is our relationship, and then it's rooted in a covenant with him. How did Noah remain resilient through this whole process? Well, he heard from God. He did. He heard from him. He heard that in spite of all of this destruction that was going to happen, everything's going to die. In spite of all of that, God would establish a covenant between Noah and God. it was in that promise that Noah was able to remain resilient. See, because of his strong relationship with God, remember, go with me, because he had that strong relationship, he was able to trust God that he would fulfill his promises. He was able to trust him. And think about it. Look at what we just read. God didn't give a lot of details to the covenant, right? I mean, we read the story and we like know what happens in the end. We know that the water goes down, right? We know that the rains come down and the floods came up. Remember that, kids? Rains came down and the floods came up. Woo, rain, come on. That's just to wake you up a little bit. So we know that that happened. And then the waters go down and then the boat is safe. And then they get off of the boat and God establishes this covenant between Noah and all of this stuff. But we read the story knowing the end. Put yourself in Noah's position at this moment where God says, I'm going to destroy it all, but I'm going to make a covenant with you. See, Noah had to believe and he had to act in faith. He trusted that God was in control of everything that was taking place. Because see, here's the thing. A covenant is all about trust. Woo. And it's hard. I'm going to be honest, it's hard sometimes because a covenant is all about trusting. And see, this covenant was bigger than just Noah and his family. And that's the amazing part of the story. As you read your Bible, you begin to see, obviously we know the story. The rains came down, the floods came up, the boat lands, they get off. God establishes the Noahic covenant. Is that how you say that, Pastor Adam? He's our Bible teacher. I have to refer to him. It's like the spelling bee where I'm like looking at the judges. So God establishes that covenant. And then a few chapters over when you read, he establishes the Abrahamic covenant with a man named Abraham. It says this about Abraham who trusted God also. It says this in Hebrews 11 in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went. Dude, you're just going to leave everything? Like, God said go there, so you're like, okay, let's go. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Oh my goodness. My kids have to know where we are going 45 days from now, right? So, Dad, where are we going? What's the plan for dinner? What are we doing after that? Dad, when are we? What's this? And I'm like, dude, just go with the flow. Just chill. My kids, they like to know a plan, especially my boys for some reason. Abraham left. He didn't even know where he was going. He just went. Why? Because Abraham, just like Noah, they had to trust God. I've been there. I'm there most of the time. All right, God, what's next? And he's like, well, here's this little step. And I'm like, I don't want the little step, right? I want to see what's way down there. And God's like, nope, here's the next step. See, trust empowers resilience in the middle of the unknown. Noah had to trust in the promise of God, even though he didn't have a lot of information. He didn't have a lot of information. How could he even know that the waters were going to come down? You ever thought of that? Like, all right, God, you said it's going to rain. What's going to happen after that? We don't see that. God didn't tell him. He just had to trust. He had to trust the promise of God, trust the covenant of God. And can I tell you, it's the same for us. Resilience in our life is all about trusting the Lord, trusting his promises. You say, well, what are the promises of God? The promises of God are many things. When you read the Bible, you see that I will never be alone. The promises of God are I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Even in the midst of trauma and tragedy and adversity, when you are stretched beyond the point that you can handle it, you can trust the promise of the Word of God that you do not walk it alone. You could trust that Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and what? And I will give you rest. That's a promise of God. Lord, there's burdens. God, there is adversity. There's stress in my life. There's this happening and that happening. And he says, okay, come to me. Lay it at my feet. That's trust. That's trusting the Lord. Maybe lately you've been stretched and you've been pushed and you've been pulled. And maybe even today you stand in the middle of the unknown. You don't know what's coming next in life. You don't know where your career is going to go. You don't know where your children and the bad choices that they're making. You don't know how it's going to affect them. Can I tell you, trust the Lord. Trust Him. Trust that God is always in control. Guys, we can't allow the fear of the unknown to prevent us from obeying God's commands. We can't do it. The fear of the unknown, we can't allow it to stop us and hinder us, even as a church body. The fear of the unknown. Well, how in the world are we going to fit more people if I bring all my friends to church? I don't know, but bring them, baby. Woo! Invite them. We'll figure out a way. We'll go to 7 services if we have to. Ooh, don't put that in the iPod podcast. Pastor Randy, he'd do it, I promise. I love him. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Man, don't allow the fear of the unknown to keep you from being resilient. And resilience is a product of us trusting Him. That trust empowers resilience in our lives. Trusting the Lord empowers resilience. So Noah, he has this promise, this covenant that sustained him as God's plan unfolds. Read the story. It's so beautiful. And it's in the waiting between the promise and the fulfillment that we demonstrate resilience and obedience. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. It's a small verse, but it's very, very powerful. Noah did everything. Whew. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Third thing I want you to see about Noah's life is that resilience is demonstrated through our obedience. We have to be obedient. God asked Noah to build an ark. He did it to the exact specifications that God gave him. God told Noah, collect 2 of every animals. He did it. God told him, hey, bring your family with you into the ark. He did it. And listen, remember, this act of obedience on the part of Noah and his family, it's not some quick overnight one and done thing. This was a time period that they had. Like I said earlier, we don't know how long it took to build the ark and gather the animals. We can make an estimate, but we really don't know for sure. He couldn't just go down to his local builders and ask for some gopher wood. They would probably be out of stock. Just kidding. I love it. He couldn't do that. Imagine, he had to chop down trees, get wood, cut the wood without chainsaws. Oh, man. I bet Noah was swole, though. You know what I mean? I bet he was big. He was stronger. What we do know from the story when you read it is that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. We know that. Talking about time here. And then we know that they spent 370 days in the ark, a little over a year. So we know that Noah and his family, they demonstrated obedience and faithfulness in the unknown for over a year.
over a year just in the time that they actually got in the ark. Not even talking about the time it took to actually build it. I don't know about you, but I can read my Bible sometimes and just go from verse to verse, and I can forget about the factor of time. I can forget that this is not just some made-up fairy tale story. This is a real story with real people, and it happened in real time. And the Bible is full of people demonstrating obedience. Did you know that King David, from the time that he was anointed as the king, remember, he's the shepherd boy, he's out in the field. The prophet comes, all the brothers are there, and he's like, nope, it's none of these guys. They're not going to be the king. And so the prophet asks the dad, hey, where's all your kids? And he's like, well, I mean, they're still David, but like, it's David. He just watches sheep and plays his guitar all day, thinks he's going to be a musician. That's all he does. And the prophet is like, bring him here. And immediately, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaks to the prophet and says, that's going to be the king. So he anoints him as king as a young boy. Did you know from the time that he's anointed king to the time that he actually took the throne, there is 20 years? Go study it. 20 years. God, I know that's the promise. That's where I'm going. But right now I'm running from my life. The king just threw a spear at my face. What is wrong with Saul? You said I was going to be king. Did you know in the New Testament that the man named Saul, who was persecuting the church, he's riding on his donkey one day. He's riding on his donkey. The Bible says in the book of Acts that he's knocked off of his donkey. And, sorry, he's knocked off of his donkey, and Jesus shows up to him. Bright vision. Why are you persecuting my church? Because he was. He was religious. Woo. He was going to get rid of all those crazy Christians. Jesus himself shows up to him and says, dude, you need to stop. Tells him he's going to be a missionary, basically, to the Gentiles. And he's like, nope. Did you know from that time when he's Saul and he is converted, he gives his life to Christ, surrenders to Christ, to the time that he goes on his very first missionary journey as Paul, that there's 12 years between that? 12 years. What are you trying to say, Aaron? This is what I'm trying to say. Resilience is the capacity to do well in the waiting. To do well in the waiting. Obedience is carried out, please hear me, church, in the menial tasks of day-to-day serving God and serving other people. Tasks that do not have a lot of prestige and fame attached to them. True obedience is carried out daily in our lives. But here's the reality. Many times, it can seem like the days are long. But my wife and I always like to say, the days are long, but the years are short. Think about your children. Think about your parents. If you've had to take care of an older, elderly loved one in your life, boy, those days seem long. But as you look back, you love those years that you have with them. They're short. Think of your kids. If you have teenagers who have matriced recently, or they're about to, or they're in university, or they're out of your home, living somewhere else, doing something else, think about it. Those days were long when they were 2 and 3 years old. Woo! Boy, they're long. But the years are short. Daily, we have opportunities to serve God by serving the community around us through faithful obedience to the task that is ahead of us. And while we serve, we must be resilient through our obedience. Think about it. Noah did this. Noah built the boat that saved every single one of us. Because Noah, because of his obedience, God established a covenant with him that then established a covenant all the way down to Jesus Christ coming to this earth and bearing our sin so that we could be in relationship with God the Father. Because of Noah. Because of his daily obedience to the task. Imagine, it probably took him years to build that ark. Imagine every single day he's out there with his hammer. And he's hammering away. And people are walking by, Noah, what are you doing? Building a boat. It's going to be a flood. Huh? Did you hear what Noah said? That's what he said last year. And the year before that. It's not raining. It's a desert. But Noah was faithful and obedient to God, and he had the capacity to do well in the waiting. How did he have the capacity to do well in the waiting? How did he demonstrate that? He was obedient to the task that was in front of him every single day. See, everyone wants to be the guy who builds the ark nowadays that saves humanity, but who wants to take care of those stinky animals every day? You ever thought about that? Who wants to be the one every single day for at least 370 days shoveling their poop? It's real. Who wants to be the one every day with his kids? Daddy, do we have to do that again? Yes, son. We got to take care of the animals. Whew. Talk about faithful obedience to menial tasks. Task with not much prestige or fame attached to it, but he was faithful and obedient to it. He fed the animals every day. You think about that? They had to eat. Who fed them? Noah and his family. Every day. Shoveling. Every day. Every day. Bringing food. Every day. What are you trying to say? Everyone wants a picture-perfect, beautiful marriage, but how many of us want to shovel the poop every day? Ooh. How many of us want to selflessly put our spouse and their needs and their wants above ourselves every single day? How many of us want to take our kids, and even after we're tired from a long day of work, we've worked hard, we're providing for the family and all this stuff, and how many of us, let's be honest, we want to just go home, and I want to watch Man United beat Arsenal tonight. Woo, yeah, yeah. I want to go home and just prop my feet up and everything, but my kids, they want to play basketball. My daughter wants her dad to spend some time with her. The reality is, if I, as her father, don't spend time with her, she will find a boy that will, fathers. She'll get some male attention from somewhere. And then we get mad when, well, that. It's the small task, guys. It's resilience is about the capacity to do well in the waiting, to be faithful and obedient to those day-to-day tasks that are in front of us. I talked to so many people that everyone, you know, they all want to be business owners. I'm like, great, what are you doing right now? Live with my mom, play video games. What? It's faithfulness in day-to-day tasks. We want to be business owners, but yet we struggle to show up at work on time, even when the job stinks, literally. Ha ha. For Noah, it did, probably. Faithfulness in the day-to-day tasks is all about becoming stronger. That's what it's all about. You know, Jesus, he's a perfect example of obedience. He is. Think about it. daily, every single day, Jesus would choose the will of the Father. That's what he did. Every single day. Jesus Christ, every day, the Son of God, he chose the will of the Father. That's what he did. He chose the will of God. Why did he do that? He did it to seal the covenant for every single one of us. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. He was obedient to the will of the Father and the daily tasks of life. He was a carpenter. Jesus was a worker. He went to work every day. I wish we knew more about that time of his life between, what, 12 years old and 30? Oh, I'd love to hear more about his young adult life and his teenage years. Maybe we will when we get to heaven. I'll ask him. Like, dude, how did you wake up before 10 o'clock when you were 20 years old? Because it was hard for me. Jesus sealed the covenant. See, guys, the power of resilience in Noah secured the salvation not just for his family through the ark, but it secured the salvation for all of humanity. It was all a foreshadowing of the grand covenant of God that was started from the beginning of time. And that covenant is all about you and I. It's all about God's love for us, that he loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And when we put our faith in him, when we surrender our life to him, the Bible says we will have eternal life. That's the covenant that has been provided for us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this morning. We talked about it earlier that Noah had a relationship with God. I want to ask you, do you have a relationship with God today? It's only possible through our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that he died for your sins. He died for my sins. And can I tell you, I grew up in church and I ran from that for a long time. I didn't want anything to do with it. I was raised by a single mom. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday prayer meeting, Tuesday women's Bible something. It was like we were always there. And I ran from God. I didn't want that relationship. And you know what? As I've looked back over the years, I realized I was trying to do it all on my own. And I got to a place where I realized it's all about my relationship with Jesus Christ. My faith in him. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can.
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. If you live in the Durban area, we would love to connect with you. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m.